Welcome to the At Leisure Podcast. This is a show about sports, video games, movies, and just basically the things we do with our leisure time. My name is Brett, and we have a special episode today. We brought back multiple guests from our preseason college football series to talk about just the whole 2023 football season in its entirety. So let's just go around and reintroduce everyone. We've got our Star Wars guy and OU fan, Jeff.
Hey, glad to be here.
And then my brother and fellow Texas Tech fan, Brady.
Reckon.
Oh, and Texas Ranger fan, if you've been listening to our more recent. Yeah. And then we got our K-State expert and second-time guest now, Blake. What's up, dude?
What's up?
And then lastly, we've got our movie man and OSU fan, Bryson.
Hey, go Pokes and fire Casey Dunn.
Good start here, yes. I say, you know, honestly, I say let's just dive into the hottest topic for the moment. So if you haven't heard, if somehow you haven't heard, Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama are in the college football playoff, in that order. I'm going to go on a tangent real quick, and then y'all can just follow off with whatever I say. I think this is bogus. I don't think the committee got it right at all. Two things have to matter in college football. I think a head-to-head result and an undefeated Power 5 season. If those things don't matter, then we might as well just say, hey, well, we think this team is better than this team now, and the games don't matter. The season is pointless. I think the committee were cowards, man. They were cowards. They couldn't just leave out the SEC and spurn the conference that has the most money and influence, so they chose to leave out a team in a conference that is already on its last legs. Then they knew that they would have less personal ramifications on them, so they just – and on an individual level, they just knew, hey, these head folks are going to be around for a while. They have more money. They have more power. They have more influence. We cannot make them mad. And so they didn't. And they chose the coward's way out, and they picked Alabama to go in, even though Florida State did not lose a single game this season. I think they should have to face every Florida State player and tell them why they decided they didn't deserve a chance at a championship. They should tell that QB, hey, you broke your leg, so your team doesn't deserve to play for a title. Sorry, you did that for nothing. He broke his leg for this, and they're not going to give that team a chance. It's just, if you can tell, I'm very frustrated with this. Imagine the NFL leaving out the Eagles the year that Carson Wentz got hurt. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. College football is being destroyed by the people in charge, and I hate it. I hate seeing it. All right, y'all got the floor. Whoever wants to go.
I mean, I think we're all just going to echo the same thing. Florida State, they got robbed, and it really makes you feel for the players. I can't imagine, you know, you're told win out, and that's all you can do, and you're going to make the playoffs. You're in a Power 5 conference. They win out. They face so much adversity. They're down to their third-string quarterback in a championship game, and they win by two scores. I mean, what else do you have to do to prove that you deserve to be there, even without your best offense of the season? Their defense can carry them. I mean, Louisville has a top-rated offense, and what did they score? They scored, like, 3 points or something? Six, I think. Yeah, I mean, that's just, I don't know, it's bogus. Not fair to them, and, of course, they're going to stroke Alabama's ego once again.
Yeah, I agree. Basically, I was just going to say, I was reading this article right before this, and it was from ESPN about the top five teams that have reasons to be angry, and, of course, Florida State was number one. And the whole reason of their starter quarterback being hurt is so stupid because, and they listed Ohio State in 2014 didn't have their starter, Alabama in 17, Clemson in 18, and Georgia in 2021. So it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they had already set a precedent. That's crazy. I didn't realize it was that many. I only thought about the Ohio State game, that Ohio State team that won the whole thing.
I try to summarize my feelings with, of course, I went to Twitter and made a thread because that's what I do. But there's someone put a tweet of the Georgia TCU score from last year and said, this is what happens when you go for deserving over best. And so I said that I agree that Bama probably has a better chance at beating Michigan than Florida State. But if we want games and for the sport of football to matter, you let the teams decide the outcomes. So you have to sacrifice one thing. Teams with the best record are the favorite team to win. And if we're deciding to go with the favorite team to win, there's no reason to play the games. Upsets happen every week. We seem to forget that TCU beat Michigan before the Georgia game. We seem to prefer that a brand and the intangibles and the opinions matter more than the actual results. The committee seemed to understand that last year when Saban made his argument for the favorite teams to go in. And I don't blame Saban. I mean, you want your team to go in no matter what. But why did they change their mind this year? And I don't buy that it was just an injury. I think it was used as an excuse this time because they finally had an excuse to do it. they pulled the trigger and screwed over somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously everything you guys said, I feel the same way. But I think really one of the things that makes me really upset about it is bringing up, you know, these, you got to have these quality wins and you got to, you know, beat these bad teams by a lot. But then you look at the Bama schedule and, I mean, literally a week ago, it took them a miracle to beat a middling Auburn team.
Yeah, a 6-6 Auburn team.
Yeah, like, I mean,
that one of the New Mexico State.
One of the craziest plays in college football this year and one of the last few years, really, just from the context of it. And, you know, Florida State, yeah, they had some close games against some not great teams, but, I mean, it did not take anything to that level. And, yeah, I mean, like Brady was saying, like these last two games, they don't have Jordan Travis. Their defense still goes out and dominates. They still get the job done. They beat two Power 5 teams, including a really good Louisville team that just destroyed Notre Dame, embarrassed them. And you're going to tell me that that defense isn't going to be good enough to stop Michigan's offense just a little bit to just give them a chance, you know? I don't think Michigan would have rolled them over.
And even if they did, I think Florida State deserved the chance to try, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I just don't understand how you couldn't agree with that. I just don't get it.
To me, another thing that's really weird is the big argument was like, do we go deserving? Do we go best teams? And if they're really going on best team, then where's Georgia? Why is Georgia sixth? We're talking about best or favorite teams, why is Georgia sixth?
Yeah.
It's so odd.
I mean, Georgia lost to Alabama by 3 points.
Yeah.
And they've won back-to-back national champions, yeah. And yeah. They have a lot of the team from last year returning. Yeah. So it's
if I was a Georgia fan, I'd be also pretty upset.
Yeah.
Also, if you bring up the quarterback argument of like, oh, you know, it's like just because, you know, their quarterback isn't playing, and you know that means they're not going to be as good. You know, Florida State went out and their defense dominated, but what did Alabama do when they didn't start their quarterback? Had a really close game against a not good USF team. So if we're judging two teams based on when their quarterback doesn't play, I'm going to take the resume of the Florida State beating Florida and Louisville over the Alabama beating USF.
Yeah. And Texas was down to Malik Murphy for two games and they pulled through. So we're dodging Texas for that.
Like, it's like they just picked the games the teams they thought were the best after one game. Like, they just saw the last set of games, and they were like, all right, now we're picking the best teams out of that set. And they didn't look at the entirety of the season at all.
Incredible recency bias.
Incredible recency bias.
Yeah.
And it's – for a while, I thought, okay, they might put Florida State in and then put Bama in over Texas because Texas' win against Bama was so early. But I think they took an even more cowardly way out than that. And so it's just
– It's funny, though, because they took into account the Texas beating Alabama – they have the recency bias, but not at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Very contradicting all around.
Plus, if they're worried about a blowout, isn't there, like, haven't majority of the playoff games been blowouts anyways?
Like, yes.
Decent amount.
Every year, the number one team beats the number four team by, like, 30 points, I feel like.
Yeah, I think last year was, like, the only, like, close year.
Yeah. TCU gets blown out in the championship game. But it's just, like... I don't understand their reasoning.
You had a couple close ones when we were in the playoffs.
Yeah, that Georgia OU game is the only one I can think of that was actually good.
Yeah. That's mainly the one I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And I'm almost afraid. I don't necessarily see that happening this year, but man, this is a little bit off topic, but I'm definitely most excited for the Washington Texas game.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good one. I am terrified that – well, okay, actually, the game – you said it, Bryson. The Florida State-Georgia game. I almost want Florida State to win that game more than I want anything else in this whole situation. Because now you'll have a farce. Whoever wins this playoffs, it's like, okay, but you might not even be the best team. Like UFC claims a national championship in 2011 because they went undefeated and beat Auburn, who was like number six at the time or whatever. But they had a decent – they had a decent argument to say, hey, we should have been there. But Florida State has the best argument I've ever seen to say, like, hey, this national championship is a farce. Like, you didn't play the best teams.
Yeah.
So
didn't they used to do, like, co-national championships?
They didn't have a game.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, Florida State, they should be able to claim co-national championship. If you have an undefeated season and you won a Power 5 conference, like,
yeah,
I don't see what's stopping you.
Yeah.
Was it you, Blake, that said for a while they were not, like, the ACC wasn't accepting any bowl requests?
Yeah.
I wanted so bad for them to just protest.
Yeah.
I think it'd almost be funny if Florida State just didn't show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said Florida State should show up to the playoff game. Yeah. Now we're here. But no, for a second, I really thought it was about to get even crazier today because it would have been hilarious if Florida State was just like, no, we don't want to go, or other ACC teams. But for a second, I thought that the ACC was imploding in real time. I was like, it's
almost immediately.
Yeah. Which I think it's going to happen fairly soon. But
yeah, this is doing nothing but pushing it further. And it's just like, these committee folks just don't care. They just don't care.
I'm sure they want it. They probably want it. So.
Yeah.
Networks got too much money. They got a hand in the pot. So. Sad.
Yeah, another problem with the whole committee thing is, you know, they always tell them, you know, like, if you're not SEC or Big Ten, you know, one of the weaker conferences, quote unquote, then, you know, schedule strong non-conference games. And Florida State, you know, has Florida and LSU on their schedule for non-conference.
Oh.
Shut down Jaden Daniels, who is the very, very likely Heisman favorite now, who just destroyed everyone in the SEC.
Thank you for saying that, because I would have been kicking myself if we didn't finish the podcast and didn't mention the fact that they beat two SEC teams in their season. You know, it's not like they're trying to shy away from that. It's not like they haven't proven themselves.
Yeah. And one of them,
it's not their fault that LSU. Travis. Yeah, yes, they beat an SEC team with a backup quarterback to prove that hey, they can still compete with the big boys. Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida's not great this year, but they played them at Florida, you know? So it's like...
Oh, well, LSU was not at home either.
Golly, it's so stupid.
And if the committee values the SEC so much, like, those wins should be prime wins.
Mm-hmm. It's not their fault that LSU and Florida didn't end up being, like, the best, but, I mean, LSU's, like, what, top four? I mean...
I think they're ranked 14 or something. Like, they're up there.
Yep.
No, Arizona's 14.
You're right, Arizona's 14, but they're up there somewhere.
Well, regardless, I mean, Jaden Daniels probably should win the Heisman, and they shut down the Heisman guy. You know, that defense did. So, if anything, that proves to me that they have a defense capable of winning a championship, even if their offense isn't up to 100%, you know? So, it's just... We all know how it is. I wanted Ashton on so maybe he could give us a dissenting opinion of a Texas fan. I mean, he, in his video, put that Texas was going to Texas and Bama were both going to be in and Florida State was going to be out. And I just did not want that to be true. But, I mean, we talked about it on the Discord.
Gosh. Didn't he say on Discord or yesterday, though, that Texas or Bama wouldn't get in?
He said, well, I said that I think when all of it went down, I was like, I think they're going to kick Florida State out. And he put the fire emoji under it. And he's like, I agree. And then he put out a video and he ranked them and he said, here's how I think it's going to go. And he was dead on. So
yeah, as soon as Texas came in as number three, I should have realized because.
Oh, for sure.
Like after you don't put the undefeated team at three, like they should have been in third spot and they weren't. So I should be like,
were y'all watching live? Did y'all see the reveal?
Mm hmm.
I did.
The way that they went 1, 2, 3, 6 4,
they
5.
Really milked it.
Yeah.
They should tell the players before that show because can you imagine being a player there? Like, that's kind of cruel.
Dude, that Florida State video is so sad.
Dude, so. I think if I was the coach, I would have just covered the camera. I would have just get the camera out of here. Like, these kids don't deserve this.
Did you guys see the statement from Norvell afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, it was some long thing, right?
Yeah,
shout out Washington.
I'll just read the first sentence. The first sentence is, disgusted and infuriated with the committee's decision today to have what was earned on the field taken away because a small group of people decided they knew better than the results of the games.
Amen.
Well said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty powerful. Yeah, shout out to Washington for not having a watch party. They said, "Nah, we good. We're in. We're not.
Don't worry about it."
Because
And Jordan Travis, I think, didn't he say he should have broken his leg like four games earlier?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
No kidding.
That's what they've done to college football, is making your quarterbacks hoping that make a quarterback wish that they would have been injured earlier, so
they could, so their team could have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Stupid.
Because I mean, it does it. Essentially, it promotes you to hide injuries. And like, there was a great tweet. It was like, if Florida State would have just like not fully disclosed Travis's injuries.
Yeah, and said, hey, he might come back.
Yeah, that he's day to day. So, you know, maybe there's a chance that he comes back in the CFP. What would they have done? You know, it's an interesting thought.
I bet that'll change in the future. No coach is ever going to reveal fully what injuries are.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I think the 12-team playoff will help. But even then, you're going to have people fighting for those last two spots. And, you know, you're going to encourage this. The hiding of the injuries or the...
Well, the 12-team playoff will help, except for a G5 team is supposed to be in, right? That's it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's going to really...
I don't hate that. I don't hate that because I think that they... I think that what makes college football so great is everyone has a chance to play for the big thing, even if you're a lower, you know, a lower school. And I think the idea of... If a group of five team beat the number one seed, I would believe that team is one of the best teams in the country.
Which I think they'd end up playing sixth seed because of the bye situation.
Oh, the bye, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's
but,
right.
But still, no, that would be huge, especially if the G5 team come in and beat any of the five teams.
And that's part of what I love about the March Madness tournament too. And so I'm sure at some point maybe it'll feel like they aren't deserving. And with all these conference realignment, like SMU going to the ACC and stuff, it's going to really make that group of five pool kind of shallow. So I do worry about that also.
Like, why I'm concerned about it is same thing with like what happened to OU this year, being left out of the NY6 bowl. So if it would have been a 12-team playoff this year, like it should have been, OU would have been left out. And we mentioned it, I think it was before we started recording, but how Liberty's strength of schedule is 133rd, I think is what was mentioned. Going in over OU, and it's like, obviously, you know, that could be debatable, but I'm just thinking of a situation coming from like a fan of the Big 12. So let's say our Big 12 champion is in. What about the team, the second best Big 12 team, gets left out? They're on the outskirts of being 10th to 14th, and you get left out for a G5 team that just doesn't feel deserving. Like,
well, just speaking for the OU scenario, OU's ranked 12. Liberty is ranked 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somehow the 12th best team in the nation is not in one of the six best bowls.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's pretty broken. And I think about you said something, Blake, that's kind of a little different topic, but the idea that this should have been the 12-team playoff this year, and it wasn't because of that stupid alliance between the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC, and those three conferences withheld. They delayed the conversations for 7 months, you know, and then all that alliance fell apart, and the conferences got together, and they did decide to do the 12-team playoff. But by then, it was too late for this year.
Yeah,
and it's like that is just more bureaucracy in college football. That is just making the sport worse, and it's just constantly. It's getting...
So really, the ACC screwed Florida State.
A little bit. I mean, the team that did it the most, I think, is probably the Big Ten, because they were a part of that thing, and then they poached those two Pac-12 teams and then just destroyed the entire alliance. Yeah. And it's like the alliance was like a handshake agreement that hey, we're all going to play nice. And then the Big Ten is like, actually, never mind. Never mind about that.
There's
dollar signs are speaking to me.
Yeah.
There's been some interesting speculation as to what's happening with the ACC that we could get into eventually. So
this is the time to do it before we jump into like recapping the season. So if you got some juicy,
let me pull up my bookmark here. But essentially, take this with a grain of salt. But it's this guy on Twitter. He was right before when all of the big realignment of the Pac-12 into the Big 12 and Big 10 was happening. He had some stuff like almost 100% before it really happened. So apparently a decent amount of the ACC schools have been in contact with the Big 12, and I'll just read this. The possibility of adding Oregon State, Washington State with the Pac-12 assets and having three entities, a PAC, Big 12, and ACC negotiating TV under one umbrella, sharing revenues and scheduling almost exclusively among themselves. So almost like a merger. Like
another alliance.
Another alliance. And so sort someone mentioned that. Alliance. Yeah, someone mentioned that. And they said the difference here is that it would be legally binding. But what the most interesting thing that could happen with that is you essentially get those conferences back because they're going to like move the teams to be geographical again. So you would have like a pack of like 8, 10, Big 12, and then your ACC. So teams would get moved around with whatever, whoever else leaves amongst the other conferences and whatnot. And I'm almost, who knows if that's going to happen, but I would be for that. You get to save the Pac-12 from dying. One of the few things I don't like about realignment is that we have spread the teams across the map so much. So I like that the geography comes back into play as well. But who knows? If that happens, that would be, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, that almost boils it down to three major conferences again, though, in a way.
Yeah.
And that's a little worrisome just because then you're that mega conference there is going to have much less teams represented than the SEC and the Big Ten. And we know in the SEC and the Big Ten, it's always going to be the same five teams. Yeah, you know,
agreed. And it's almost at this point, like, look, I'm looking like down the road. I think that mega conference is happening no matter what, essentially at this point. So I would rather be in that boat of, hey, we got three conferences, then we don't have to worry about
the two conferences. Big Ten.
Yeah. All that happening, like you almost have like your backup plan for when and if that happens. Because I could totally see almost essentially like a new division of football arising down the road. So
kind of like the NFL.
Yeah. Something weird. That's just sad because college football, as we know it, is rapidly changing.
I've been sharing that Mark Jackson meme with everyone that I can. What happened to the sport I love?
Yeah.
It's very true.
But I guess anything else y'all want to say about all this before we jump into like the actual sport that we love and talk about this season?
Not much. Just wish people didn't put money over the athletes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all there is to it. Athletes and the fans.
You know, everyone thinks they can do it better, but I truly think us five here could do it better.
We absolutely could. No one would be mad at us.
Nobody.
Except maybe Bama and Georgia, but, you know, they deserve to be mad. For
hey, if it were up to us, there'd be a 12-team playoff, baby.
Hey, Bama's got enough.
Yeah.
Georgia's got the last two. They're fine.
If it were up to me, there'd be like a 25-team playoff.
He's just making March Madness in football. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
The season goes until February now.
No. By the end of the year, all the non-conference games.
It's only six-game regular season.
Yeah.
No one has their starting quarterback at the end of the year, so it doesn't matter.
True. You better be rolling three deep like Texas Tech every year.
Or like Kansas. Why does Kansas weirdly have three good quarterbacks?
Yeah, true.
Who knows, man?
Hey, Leipold, man. Good coach.
He is.
Turning it around there.
Yeah, they just lost their
OC. Houston's. So. Who'd they lose?
Kansas lost their OC.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, Houston is going to be the new Kansas. I'm calling it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. In football. Baby.
In football.
And then they're good at basketball. So literally. Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into. Well, we can talk about biggest surprise of the season since we're already kind of talking about the surprise of Kansas having three capable quarterbacks in college football. What was y'all's biggest surprises this year? What do you want to highlight?
Just every single OSU game was a surprise to me. I mean, I have never watched a more confusing team in my entire lifetime. Like, you know, like you'll see in like NFL sometimes, you know, teams get off to a rough start and then pick it up and get real hot. Not much do you see in college football a team lose to a not that good South Alabama team or something of that caliber and lose bad, like embarrassingly bad. And then,
if you don't mind, real quick on because OSU lost that game, South Alabama game, I was telling Brett, I was telling everyone at work, this is the most confident I feel about K-State playing OSU ever in my life. And then we go out and lose. So
I don't know. I was like, how do I even want to watch like OSU at all this year? You know, I was on like Gundy comes out after that game and he's like, you know, we really don't have any major problems right now. I'm just like, what? We go and lose to Iowa State, who had lost to Ohio the week before. And like, we're all just like, well, probably not going to get our bowl streak this year. I mean, that's probably over with. And then biggest surprise is they turn it around, beat K-State. You know, I was just kind of like, oh, look, I was joking with my family. I'm like, oh, we're so back. We're so back. And they just rip off a crazy win streak, win in Bedlam, which I don't think anybody thought was going to happen after, especially OU beat Texas. Then we just get crushed by UCF. Just
that made no sense.
Incredible.
Yeah. So confusing.
And then we play Houston. They're beating us pretty bad first quarter and a half. Then we just come out and, you know, Ollie Gordon activates, just takes over. Then we go to BYU, or not at to BYU, but we play BYU. And just, oh man, horrible game. Horrible game to watch. And then, yeah, they're just dogging us. And then all of a sudden, we just turn it around and win in overtime. We tried to lose with a missed PAT. It's just, I've never seen a more confusing team. So it went from mad, disappointing to very surprised and very happy with how the season went.
Gundy gets another year, baby.
I know, but we need a new offensive coordinator, and hopefully we keep Ollie Gordon.
Crazy y'all didn't play him at the beginning. I never understand coaches that can't see talent within their own program. It's like, obviously you saw something in Ollie Gordon. You recruited him, you brought him on your field, and then you didn't play him until you were forced to?
Until you watch the West Virginia game last season, you could watch him and be like, oh yeah, like he's the future back. And then coming into this season, and it's like, I think through the first two games, you know, like our offense was struggling. We're running that three quarterback system. And they were also like, they were switching out running backs too. But each drive that he was the main running back, like they scored a touchdown on. And then it's just like, then he gets like three carries in the South Alabama game.
I just don't understand it. It's funny though. What's the biggest surprise of the season? You said every game, all of it.
Every single OSU game. And Ollie Gordon being as good as he is.
I'll add a couple surprises for me. One being the four new teams to the Big 12 were mediocre at best or just bad. And I thought, I was fairly confident at least one of those four new teams would be like pretty good.
Yeah.
But they were all just not. And I think that maybe looking back, it's not so surprising because they just weren't used to playing with the big boys. Yeah. And that showed.
Big 12's the... be better and deeper than people expect.
And then the other thing I had literally has left my mind, so if someone else has something, I'll probably think of it in a second.
I guess I would probably say Iowa State. We're all Big 12 fans, so I'm sure there's some other teams that were real surprising, but Iowa State coming into the year, they lost a few players due to gambling and
their quarterback.
Yeah, their quarterback, a huge one. They get rolled by Iowa, who I really don't think is that good. And then they come in and they beat Oklahoma State to start off Big 12. And I was just like, what is this team? Which Oklahoma State at the time, we also were like, this team sucks.
Yeah, but we just thought it was the battle of the bottom.
Yeah, yep. But then I believe they had was it a true freshman quarterback that started all year for them?
Yeah.
And the dude just
balled
out
because of
like that.
Gambling problems.
Yeah, because of gambling, they had to gamble on their quarterback, and it paid off. It was he had a great season, and I don't think you could have asked an Iowa State fan at the beginning of the year, are y'all going to go 7-5?
And 6-3 in the Big 12.
Yeah, 6-3 in the Big 12. Like, they just, I don't know, it was really impressive. And so that's probably what I would say was the biggest surprise to me.
It wasn't just their quarterback that was a freshman, too. They were heavy freshman leaning. I mean, it makes me scared because I'm like, they're going to be good in the future. All these young guys balled out this year.
I wish that was the truth, but so many people transfer now. It's like, who knows if they'll have the same team.
Well, I remembered my other one, and TCU, a team that was in the national championship the year before, last year, they're not even making a bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They fell hard.
Just to your point, Brady, I mean, the transfer portal is wild. They're so bad. They are so bad this year.
It's the Max Duggan effect.
They did lose their starting QB, and
they had like nine guys go pro. Yeah.
So I didn't say they lost a ton.
But you would think they could get people in the transfer. Like, they wouldn't be that as bad as they were.
Oh, 100%. I definitely didn't think they were.
I totally agree with Jeff. But I was just, Iowa State, I think, was the biggest one for me personally.
Mm. That is a good one, though.
I'll go with my surprise. Just before I get a surprise, to speak on Iowa State, Abu Sama will haunt me in my dreams. And the picture of snow for the rest of my life.
So. Just that running back coming out of the snow at you.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite part of the season. That was such a fun game to watch.
I was so excited. It was a fun game. It was like, it's my dream to like see a snow game at Snyder Stadium, and I couldn't go, and I'm glad that I didn't now in retrospect. But like, I was so excited to watch that game.
They kept panning to people in the crowd, and nobody looked happy. Everyone was just miserable.
It was incredibly sad. But props to Iowa State. They really did bounce back. Another thing is, like, you put Mike Gundy or Matt Campbell on the hot seat, and they're going to deliver. So
that's a good point.
Impressive for both of them. But my surprise, it's one single coaching decision. I love Chris Klieman, but to go for it on fourth down and overtime against Texas, that was my biggest surprise. I still hurting about that one. But
I get it normally. Like if y'all have been leading most of the time, and then, you know, Texas has been scrambling to come back and they catch up, and then you finally have a chance there at the end to put a dagger in them and like stop the comeback. But y'all were rolling. It was the opposite, you know? It was like you want to go into overtime because y'all are like feeling it, and Texas was reeling.
Momentum flipped, and then you have to have a great fourth down play call, and you have no timeouts. And then Texas calls one, and they're going to bail you out of that decision to go on fourth or give you a chance to call a great play, and you do neither. So, just because who knows that hypothetical, who knows what could have happened. Texas may not have been.
Florida State should be livid at y'all.
Blame Florida State. Actually, don't blame the committee. Blame K-State.
I'm livid. Well, you could have been in the Big 12 championship.
There's a few ref decisions this year, too, that affected things. Thinking about OU and OSU, that call or not call at the end. Yeah, sorry, Jeff, giving you flashbacks. And then the spot for Houston against Texas, where they should have had a first down and they'd have scored and won the game, but instead they didn't. And it was just like, what is going on?
Big 12 refs, baby.
Big 12 refs. After watching all these games, though, I'm like, actually, reffing is just an extremely difficult thing to do. And since they don't make them full time employees, they just got a bunch of Jeffs out. Not Jeff. Sorry, just a bunch of.
Oh, wow. I can assure you.
You'd do better.
No, look. I know it's an incredibly hard job. I would be absolutely terrible at it.
But you don't have to use Jeff as the example.
I know. This is the first basic name in my brain. Sorry, Jeff.
Hey, dude. I get it.
We all got a pretty basic name. Bryson, you probably have the most creative name, so good for you, man.
Yes, sir.
Blake, Brady, Brett, Jeff.
Yeah, actually, Jeff, you're ruining it. We're all B names. So.
That's a good point. Actually, I have the most unique name here. Thank you.
The only thing I was going to say regarding the Big 12 surprises is also Kansas beating OU. Again, sorry, poke fun at you, Jeff, but I stopped watching the game in the first quarter because I know Kansas never beats OU. Hmm. It was their first win since 1997 against OU. So literally, like, I had never seen it happen before.
We'd won like, I think, 23 in a row. So
yeah.
They got to dodge Kansas State. So Kansas said, don't worry, state of Kansas.
Yes, that is exactly what happened.
So that was so surprising. I was shocked. Probably the most shocked I've been all year. Because I was like, it doesn't feel like a thing that can actually happen. So
I wasn't I kind of wasn't surprised about that one as much. I was surprised we lost to OSU because our record there is even more insane, I think.
More insane than not losing in 24 years?
No.
I get what you're saying, though. I mean, I was telling everybody, I was like, dude, OU's going to be super like ticked off. They're going to come in hot and angry, and I expected a blowout. Was not.
Didn't happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Not Big 12 wise. I was shocked by Missouri this year. Yes. They're in a New York Six Bowl, and they didn't actually have to run like through a gauntlet or anything, but they beat teams like Florida, Kansas State, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, which are all teams I would normally pick over them in the past years, you know? So it was kind of a surprise.
They balled out. They balled out this year.
It did. And, man, thicker kicker. He got us.
Dude. Yep. Yeah, that's
50-yarder, bro. I could not believe my eyes. I couldn't. But, you know, that should have really set a precedent for what I should have expected for the rest of the season. But they're a good team. They're a solid team this year.
They are. I'll be interested to see Ole Miss and Missouri, I think, are a little overrated. And I'll be interested to see how the bowl games go with them. Because they're kind of
– Ole Miss, I think they dodged a bullet. They're playing Penn State.
Yeah. True. And they always fold in a big game.
It's the battle of mids right there.
Yeah, no kid.
I got two more surprises I thought of.
Do
one,
it.
One half Big 12 related, half SEC, and it's that Jeff Lebby got a 5-year deal with Mississippi State, especially after watching their game plan against OSU.
I agree with you there.
But that's a big win for OU. And then another one is that Ohio State's offense was very, very lackluster this year. And the quarterback play especially. I mean, of course, you got, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. who's going to be a top 5 pick as a receiver. And then Kyle McCord just comes out and is not a good quarterback, especially considering their run of just historically good quarterbacks.
Clearly, C.J. Stroud should have been the Heisman, apparently. Turned into a baller, dude. So, big drop-off after losing that.
Yeah. Another one that I have that's not Big 12 related is, it is kind of Big 12 related. So, looking like a good addition to the new Big 12, Arizona going 9-3.
Yeah.
In a pretty strong Pac-12 conference this year. They've got a good coach, Jed Fish, I think is how you say his name. I can't quite. And then their starting QB went down, and then they stumbled into a great QB with that freshman, you know? And it was like, that guy popped off. He threw for like 2,515 yards, 23 touchdowns, and he was 6-2 as a starter for them. So I was like, wow, Arizona. And they were one of my favorite teams to watch when everyone else was sleeping. You know, so
that USC Arizona game was one of my favorite games of the season.
Yeah.
And that's funny that we haven't mentioned that none of us were surprised that USC did that bad.
I am not surprised, I am ecstatic.
Yeah. And then to go off that note, okay, a surprise with Will Howard transferring and leaving. Right now, the top candidacy is USC. Lincoln Riley met with Will Howard yesterday to talk about the potential of playing for USC. And if that happens, part of my soul will die. if you hear this, I'm begging you, bro, don't go. Don't do it.
Why do you hate Lincoln Riley?
Lincoln Fraudley, man. He really is. He really is.
This Oklahoma air is rubbing off on you.
No, I do have a kinship for OU because my wife's an OU fan, and that's how the family is OU fans. So I get it. And I think I have a distaste for him. He proves that he can't win. Yeah, and I mean, I would feel bad for him. The stadium's half empty all the time, so he has no defense. So. Would feel kind of bad. Anyway,
he's the one that kept bringing back Alex Grinch, so I don't feel bad for him on the no defense part.
Yeah, no, it's their own ball. Yeah.
That's a good segue into our favorite things of the season, since I know that's one of Jeff's favorite things is watching USC just kind of collapse on themselves there.
That was fun. My absolute favorite thing of the season, though, was beating Texas.
Oh, yeah.
One, I'd love to beat Texas. And two, I was at that game after also being at the last year game.
Oh, dude.
And it was such redemption. And I've never been so excited and without a voice because I yelled so much.
That game was...
It's one of my favorite to watch. Top probably five. It might be my top one sports experience of all time. So
it's a great game.
I don't even have to say anything else in this segment because there's nothing that can beat that.
That's very true. I as someone who was not liking either team very much, it was a lot of fun to watch that game. And I love the Red River shootout because it's just
To the Red River rivalry, baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sorry, whatever.
He was just tripping on words.
He can't get through the tongue twister.
Exactly. I didn't want to say it. So I was like, shootout. That's right. Shootout. I always look forward to that game, too. And then I would love to see the game end and then like a cavern open up in the middle of it. Of teams,
so. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about the Big 12 championship this year.
Need Bane to show up and blow up the
field. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was a travesty, but.
I guess for me, some of the favorite things of the season, I'd have to say Tech beating Kansas was up there for me. It was a pretty ugly game, but we went and won against a ranked team on the road, and we don't do that much. it's a big deal for us, and an ugly game. I think you got to win some ugly games on the way to becoming a better team. And I don't know, it showed that we have some guts and we can stick it out when things aren't going our way and still pull out a big win. And then probably my other favorite thing is Joey McGuire. He finds ways to win home games. We got to start winning more on the road, but I think we lost. I had it earlier. I think we lost one home Big 12 game this year. And that's just a recipe for success in the future. We just got to keep on winning at home and taking care of business and making our place somewhere that the opponents fear to go to, which they already do fear because we're going to throw batteries at you. We're going to throw...
It's fake.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah, we're gonna throw everything at you. But I don't know. I love having home field advantage, and I hope he can continue that as the coach here.
I mean, also, just piggybacking on that, while we're talking about Tech and Joey McGuire, we've had back-to-back winning Big 12 seasons for the first time since like the Leach era. So that's crazy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and it did not feel like we were going to have a winning season after the Wyoming start to the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pretty brutal loss to get it started. And it's like, well, we lost two of our three non-conference games. We're not going bowling this year. And here we are.
Let's go with my favorite thing. And sorry, the one loss you did have at home. It's my KK Wildcats, and that is, I have no joke.
Nothing like playing Tech to get right.
No joke.
Y'all beat us every year, so.
Well, the reason why it's a highlight from this year, because that was the Avery Johnson coming out game. So five rushing TDs for Avery. So that was after quite a disappointment of a season. At least all I'm hanging on to now is Avery Johnson. So. To have that game was pretty nice,
and we had a good run defense, so that's really
just
impressive.
Shocking.
He's good. He's really solid. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're having nightmares of the snow game. We have nightmares of Avery Johnson,
golden boy,
all sunshine. Yeah.
Let's see. I'll start with two non of my team favorite things of this season.
Nice,
and both are somewhat Pac-12 related. First off, the Pac-12 in their last year, like, I don't know how decent of a conference they were, but they're out of their non-conference games. They looked really good.
And didn't they go 12-0?
I think something.
Against
crazy.
Other Power 5 teams? They didn't lose a single game?
Yeah. I mean, Colorado comes out and looks like, you know,
thumps Prime's, TCU.
Yeah, Prime's got them to be the next big thing and then end up 4-8, but... But it was
they're on the way up though.
Super, super fun season. just in the Pac-12. You know, I'm a big Pac-12 After Dark fan.
Good for a well season.
You know, like I was saying, that Arizona and USC game, you know, Pac-12 After Dark, when like the USC kicker like kind of tripped a little bit to send it to overtime, and then Caleb Williams just like ISO'd the whole Arizona football team to win the game. That was a great time. So, yeah, just, you know, no other way to send out the Pac-12 than them actually for once having like a good season.
And a team in the playoffs.
Exactly. Which then gets me kind of Washington. Of a big thing I liked about Washington is, because I'm a big fan of the transfer portal in college football. I think it does give, you know, some kind of advantage to a little bit smaller teams every now and then. Of now, you know, like Washington, like, you know, they're obviously not like a bottom feeder team and never really have been, but you know, they have a lot of guys built from the transfer portal, and you know, they've had a lot of guys come in, and you know, I mean, of course, starting off with Penix and you know, a few more guys on the defense who have transferred in. And so I think it was cool to see like a team that a lot of their leaders have been built from the transfer portal have been actually have that success. And then, of course, the team is beating OU. And I said on the pod at the beginning of the season, we can lose every other game and beat OU, and I'll be happy. Because this is the eternal bragging rights for now. And, you know, like, especially after the start of the season, didn't think it was going to happen at all. And being able to come out and actually just play a good game, Mike Gundy being, like, kind of aggressive a little bit, both teams trying to give it away to each other. It was truly a bedlam game. And I, as one of my favorite sporting wins ever, that we got to actually win the last one after watching us lose for so many years.
Yeah, that game was fun too, to watch as mm-hmm. someone not.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch as someone who was a fan.
Too stressful.
Real fun at the end. Real fun at the end.
Yeah, for me, I'll go non-Tech first. Honestly, it's been it was kind of a disappointing season for Tech and kind of the Hateful Eight in general, other than Oklahoma State. And even then, it was kind of at times disappointing. But, man, the Pac-12, you were right. The Pac-12 was fun to watch this year. And there was a game, Colorado versus Colorado State, at like 11 o'clock at night to like 2 p.m. I remember just staying up watching that, and I kept thinking, I'll go to bed. And it just kept getting more and more outrageous and more entertaining, to where I was like, all right, I guess I'm up tonight until, you know, the wee hours of the night, because this game is kind of hard to turn away from, especially when Colorado was favored by like 20 and the game was like so close. And I did. This is a rivalry that I had no idea was a rivalry with Colorado State. I'm like, I didn't even know Colorado State was a team. So it was just – and then they had some dogs, man. I remember watching. I was like, this – they had one receiver. I'm like, that guy's going to go pro. Like, he's good. Mm-hmm. And then I learned Michael Galbs from there for the Cowboys. I'm like, okay, I guess this is a team that I never knew about, even me who watches all this college football. So – yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Just because it got hyped up in the media so much.
Yeah.
It was fun.
But it lived up to the hype. That's what was crazy. I was like, I don't care about this Colorado State game. I don't care. And then I turned it on, and then they got me to care. And I was like, what the heck? Here I am. Hey, love that game.
Real quick, before you get into your favorite parts of the Tech season, probably one of your least favorite parts is another late night game. That's the Wyoming game at the start of the season.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that sucked for you guys, but that was such a fun game to watch.
Me and Brady were at a bachelor party, and, like, our friends were like, does this kill you? Like, I've never seen you so sad.
They were cheering against us. Yeah. It was infuriating.
You know how, man. You know how
I was about to swing at some people.
Brett's picture in the Discord is you and Brady with the – Tech scoreboard against OU in the background?
It used to be. It's not anymore. Now it's the Texas Rangers.
Okay. Well, it used to be. Well, I almost changed mine to the Wyoming scoreboard.
For an OU fan to say that, thank you. That means that we had something to hold over you.
Yeah, that's right. Made you mad. Yeah. It's been so long.
But I let it go on record. I didn't do that because I really don't care.
Exactly. That's why I would say thank you. Like, oh, Texas Tech actually means something to y'all. Because y'all were my least favorite team for a long time because of 2008 season. But anyways.
Yeah, and it's also funny because we were there, and it's like the last game we'll ever play against y'all probably. So, you know, at least I'll have that eternal picture on my phone forever.
Eternal bragging.
It's like, hey, what have you done for me lately?
I think Tech might be
the committee.
Our third like rival in the modern era since Nebraska and Missouri are gone.
Don't forget about old K-State.
Yeah,
it's not a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
Yeah, just like just an ownership.
I never want to play K-State again. Never.
I remember when all this happened. The first thing Jeff said to me is like, "We never have to see K-State again."
I stand by that.
That would be what you're thinking.
Which it sucks for me because I love getting to go watch them play in Norman. So.
Yeah, that does suck. It sucks. Honestly, I've been to a few Tech games in Norman too, and it never ends well for us, but. It was still fun, you know. I'll miss that, especially basketball. Basketball, I'll miss that's how it's like to watch an OU basketball game. It's like $6. It's incredible. So we just go watch them.
And watch not this year in OU. We're in the top 25.
Yeah, y'all are pretty good this year in basketball. They're not a basketball podcast. We'll have another one of those later. So
sure.
I guess I'll jump to my favorite Texas Tech moments. We beat Baylor after Baylor embarrassed us last year, and we didn't just beat them; we whooped them. It was before we knew Baylor was going to be – I mean, we knew Baylor was bad, but Baylor was just dog water this year. And it's crazy that their coach is getting another chance. I kind of applaud Baylor for giving him another chance just because, you know, college football is all about knee-jerk reactions these days. But
is he their same coach from last year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that won him a Big 12 title. So.
They were decent last year.
They're right.
No, they were pretty bad last year.
But
didn't they make a bowl?
Well, they were good against us last year. I was at that game, and it was really painful to watch. So I'd have to agree that was fun to see us whoop them.
It was cathartic to watch us just beat them in their home place. And then Joey McGuire getting that monkey off his back and him looking so happy and Dave Aranda looking so sad in the middle of the field. You know, and we had struggled so much at the beginning of the season, as we've alluded to a few times. So to finally get a good win where I was like, okay, we look like the team I thought we were going to look like, really felt good. So that was a fun week. Didn't really have much other than that. I will say for the season, watching Taj Brooks run was a privilege. That man is a bowling ball personified. It is incredible to watch him run. He had the third most rushing yards in the nation this year at 1,400. Yeah, 1,443. And he forced the most missed tackles, and it wasn't really close. I think the next closest was like 70, and he had like 92 forced missed tackles. So that's awesome. So it was just watching this guy, his run blocking up front was below average. So he had a below average line with a Pro Football Focus grade of 64.9. Take that for what you will. It just means that our line wasn't very good, and all his yards were just him just running over folks until somebody finally tackled him, you know. And that was all season. Like, he didn't have big chunk plays because he wasn't getting open holes. He was just running for 9 yards after he knocked over four guys, you know.
And the Chiefs need to dip back into the Texas Tech pool and get him up, and him and Pacheco as a combination.
Exactly.
Yeah. That could be deadly.
Yeah. I will say, as wrong as I was about everything Tech related this year, we did call that Taj Brooks would be over 1,000 yards this year. And it was beautiful to watch him play. That dude, he
literally carried us to 6 wins this year. Like, he just put us on his back.
Absolutely. So. We could have had 7 or 8 if we would have fed him more in a couple games. But
yeah. West Virginia particularly is the one I think about where I'm like, I can't believe we lost that. We had Taj Brooks in the backfield and we lost that game. But
I got married.
But we're talking about the things that we liked, and Taj was awesome. So. All right. Anything else you want to talk about that you liked about the season before we just kind of talk about maybe what excites us about the new landscape next year and then maybe predict our national champion?
Quick thing. I just really liked Washington beating Oregon after somehow being an underdog in that game. Just, love that.
The Oregon hype this year was crazy. Was
yes. I didn't make sense to me how they were underdog after already having beat them once.
Made no sense.
It didn't make any sense.
Well, Oregon did beat Tech early in the season, so they deserve to be higher.
You're right.
almost came down to that for them in Texas trying to decide who gets in. So,
yeah, they beat us by one. Texas beat us by – well, I don't remember that game, actually. I don't think that one happened. So.
Which one? Yeah, Oregon just one?
Yeah.
I don't think they
– we can move on to the next topic. Another thing y'all loved about this season.
Our favorite things, anyways.
Yeah.
I will say just one quick thing. I loved seeing, and this is an OU thing, but when we played BYU and Billy Bowman got that 100-yard pick six, that's a fun play to see anytime it happens.
Huge
play. But especially as an OU fan.
Huge play. That changed the
save
game.
Save that game.
So, for sure.
If I was a BYU fan, I would have been livid after that pick. Mm-hmm. They had ran the ball down your throat to get there.
There was no reason to pass.
Yeah. But, yeah, congratulations. It was an awesome play, but from the coaching side, it's like, what are you doing?
Anything else? I thought the Heisman race this year was kind of lackluster. Jaden Daniels, I think, deserves it. But
numbers are insane to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wins don't matter, so you can just give it to Jalen.
Oh, man.
In fact, but, to avoid Washington having the Heisman curse, I would rather them give it to Jaden.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it. He played well in a pretty tough conference.
He balled out.
And just felt like any big game, he was letting them down.
He balled out. Yeah, he balled out.
I say you have to give it to Jordan Travis. Departure means that their team literally can't.
That's a good point.
That is true.
And what's sad is like,
I think it has to be him.
I would imagine he's probably not even top three, which is really sad.
I imagine. Just based off their logic, I think it should have to be him.
Are the three probably Penix, Jaden, and Nix?
Nix. Yeah. Actually,
Bo.
I think Arch Manning is.
That's what I mean. Here. None of those guys really just stand out.
They'll probably
Bo, the player that's played for like five different schools and is in his sixth year. Or something.
He's got 3 degrees.
They'll probably throw Carson back in there just cause. So,
yeah.
Because being the Georgia
quarterback. The Alabama quarterback, he won Heisman. Remember, he was yelling it on the field after that.
Give me the Heisman. Right. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, let's talk about what excites us about the new landscape next year.
I'm excited about for an OU fan. I'm excited about being in the SEC. I think that'll pose some new challenges and maybe exciting games. But
how do you feel about it?
How do I feel?
Yeah. Like, are you glad? I know a lot of people around here are happy.
I was happy with the Big 12 until we made our decision to leave. And since then, I would say we couldn't have left soon enough. It's just been miserable these last couple of years for...
Well, what do you think? I mean, one of my favorite things about this year was the controversy of the OU and Texas fans thinking like, hey, we're doing everything we can to get y'all out of the conference championship. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for you, maybe.
I didn't really believe it for Texas, but the Bedlam game, I kind of felt that way for y'all a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little suspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little suspect.
I don't think there's a conspiracy or anything, but it is
you've got
very suspicious.
Yeah.
There's some very suspicious bias going on.
Big 12 refs.
Yeah,
just
I think that's what it is. It's that there's so many bad calls that, like, you could argue that, but it's just because the Big 12 refs are so bad.
I mean, other teams had terrible calls as well. So
I appreciate the level head. I just know that. After that game, that's all I heard was people like, the Big 12 doesn't want us in. They don't want us in. I'm like, guys, I get it, but y'all could have won that game. There was definitely calls that went the other way, too.
It's one of my favorite sayings. One of my favorite sayings with football is, like, if it comes down to you complaining about the refs, then you didn't win the game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You can't – the refs cannot be the reason you – like, you don't need to be in that position in the first place.
Never.
But it is very frustrating.
Never rely
specifically
on.
Specifically with that OSU call.
Never rely on two things as a football team. The refs to bail you out or your kicker to bail you out.
Oh, I know you had neither.
Hey, unless you're Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
But for OU, I'm excited for the SEC. But then, in general, I'm excited for all the new kind of conference mix-up that has happened in the past, you know, years. But the Big 12 is going to be interesting. I think it'd kind of still be fun to be there because of all the new teams. I just wish Texas wasn't so stupid with their Longhorn Network. Otherwise, we could have had this a long time ago.
We could have had a great conference if it wasn't for the Longhorn Network. I mean, the 2007-2008 Big 12 was some of the best. That was peak college football, you know?
Absolutely.
So. Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think as much as I lament all of this new stuff and, like, I don't like it, there will be some interesting matchups. And I'm excited for the A&M-Texas game next year. My wife's an Aggie, and so I just love the fiery hate that they have for each other. And also, there's just so much in that game that'll be fun. And I think it'll be cool to have OU mixing it up with, like, Arkansas again and some of those teams that, you know, I think that the new SEC will be fun. And I also think that it'll make it where those three teams at the top finally will get some, like, competition that I think can hang with them. So I'll be interested to see. I made a bet with somebody, I think it was yesterday, that I think OU or Texas is going to be in the championship game next year for the SEC.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll see, but I think it'll happen.
You think it'll be one of OU or Texas?
I think one of you guys are going to make it to the SEC championship
next year. I would love that.
Well, obviously.
As confident.
What if it's Texas? Would you love it?
No.
Okay. I was just curious if there was, like,
Sooners.
If you were, like, holding hands together going into this conference, like,
now if it was both buddies. OU and Texas in the championship, that'd be fine.
I can't remember the divisions, but I don't think that's possible, right?
Probably not.
I would root for the.
I don't think they would let that happen.
Yeah, I would love for the OU and Texas in there. Oh my God. I'd be like, SEC's overrated, bro.
So that would be our dream.
Yeah, Big 12 is better. Like, these teams can't beat us. What are we like? I do, in that article I referenced earlier about the top five angry teams, this was OU was number four because they got snubbed with the New Year's Six. But the last line of their section is, there's no conceivable reality in which the Sooners don't belong in the New Year's Six. Fortunately, they'll be in the SEC next year where they won't have to worry about such shoddy treatment.
True. That made me I think that's fair. Yeah, there's an intense SEC Big Ten bias, but... You know, I think, you know, since it's earned because the SEC always wins the national championship, but at the same time, it's the same teams every year. So it just kind of conflates the rest of them. You know, it's like those three guys, all right, those three teams carry the conference and then everyone else holds a banner behind them that chants SEC. You know, it's like you guys lose all these bowl games, but whatever. So hopefully y'all don't, I don't think y'all are trying to, I think that's what I'm excited about is having Texas and OU compete with those guys for the championship and maybe mix it up a bit. What else? What else are y'all excited for?
On a Texas Tech note, I would say I'm really excited. We have our first ever five-star coming to campus. And so I think that's really exciting. And he's at the wide receiver group where we just lost a lot of people to the transfer portal. I hope he lives up to the hype. He was really fun to watch in his recruiting process as he was just trolling Texas the whole time. It was really fun to watch. But we haven't had this kind of talent on campus before, so I think that's
I still don't even believe it until he's on campus. I just can't. I can't.
Well, you better believe it. He's going on campus for practice for this bowl game we have. So
when I see him in uniform, then I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Micah Hudson, right?
That's what Yeah. And so I'm really excited for that. I can't buy the hype like I did last year. I thought we were going to have two losses this year or one loss this year in our preview of Texas Tech. So Joey McGuire, you really fooled me there, but I don't know. I'm just excited for that and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm going to have to bounce here soon. I'll just run a quick, like 2.5 minutes, something for the rest of my thoughts. Things I'm excited to see if our defense can bounce back. Because that was my concern going into the season and proved to be our downfall more than anything. So really interested to see how we can improve next year. And obviously I'm excited for Avery Johnson. And that kind of goes hand in hand. My disappointment for the year was the defense. Especially, you know, I had mustered up like the content of the season being like, oh, you know, we were one game away from defending the title. And then we just go and can't tackle Iowa State for to save our lives. So just to end on that note, it's really sad, especially for the seniors. So, yeah, I think that covers the rest of my thoughts on everything. My pick to win the championship is Washington, just because that's who I want to win. So I'm just hoping they can pull it off.
Hey, there we go.
So, yeah, it's been a really fun year of college football. Disappointing under the way that's headed. But, you know, just got to enjoy the games.
That's right. Hey, thanks for joining, man. See you, dude.
Some of my favorite things I'm looking forward to is, I'll start with OSU. One is just get to watch Ollie Gordon run, hopefully, as long as he doesn't enter the transfer portal. But he's saved our season. Would have had a 2,000-yard season if we would have played him the first three games of the season. And we probably don't lose to South Alabama if we actually play him consistently.
No kidding.
So, yeah, getting able to watch him run this year was an absolute treat. You know, ever since Bedlam, he's kind of dealing with a nagging injury. But, you know, he still went out and BYU put the team on his back and had 5 touchdowns. Just like his numbers are numbers that OSU hasn't really had since, you know, the greatest running back in history, Barry Sanders. So, and then another OSU.
It's crazy you don't exaggerate there.
Yeah, it's his.
Chuba Hubbard, come on.
Hey, Chuba didn't have back-to-back 250-yard games. There's also some crazy stat. It's like Ollie's 5 touchdown game was like he joins Barry Sanders, the only player to do it, and like Barry Sanders did it 4 times. It's insane.
Nuts. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
But hopefully, you know, Gundy had one of his best/worst coaching jobs this season. And hopefully he can learn something and fire our offensive coordinator, because Casey Dunn is not a good offensive coordinator. So I'm really hoping that something I'm looking forward to is the potential of having a new offensive coordinator. And then along with like realignment.
Set yourself for a letdown.
Yeah, I know. As far as realignment goes, I'm looking forward to seeing. I do think Texas and OU will actually be pretty decent. I think Jack Arnold's going to be pretty good for OU, man.
I hope so.
I think Sark has kind of actually figured stuff out at Texas, so it'll be interesting to see how they do in the SEC. And then also in the Big Ten, I think Kalen DeBoer is a really, really, really good head coach, and I'm excited to see Washington being able to add some pressure to Michigan and Ohio State in that conference. Mm-hmm. Maybe not next year, because they might be a little rebuilding next year, but I think in the future they're actually going to put some pressure on them. And then the best of all is we're going to have a college football game for PlayStation next year.
Dude, yes.
Oh, dude. Ah, what a good bring. What a good. Yeah. Yes.
That's and top of my list, actually.
That means that all my free time will be gone, and we'll be towards that and building a dynasty that lasts until probably the year 3000. Dude, and it's going to be great.
I'm going to jump on what you said about Washington, but I'm also going to add Oregon in there. I think that is what I'm really excited about. Ohio State has had some teams that I'm like, these are the real deal, but I've never really felt like Michigan is that good. And I think they're one of the top teams in college football, but I never really agree with them being the top 4 team.
And they don't have to prove it very much.
No, you know,
they have to prove it one time a year.
I am sad about Texas and OU leaving and just the conferences being blown up, I do think that'll be nice to, like you said, put them to the test. That one bothers me more than the SEC, because I'm like, I think the SEC is very top heavy, but they do have other schools than just 2 that they have to play against.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
And I don't know. There's just so much about the Big Ten that's always frustrated me. So.
I completely agree, because you had a Big Ten champ this year. I mean, a championship with Iowa in it, who can't even score points. They can't even score football points. It's ridiculous.
What was that stat you said, Bryson? It was like that side of the
conference.
Yeah, the Big Ten West is 0-10 in the Big Ten title game. That's what they finished in their history.
That's insane. Yeah. To have a side of your conference that never wins, it's like automatic that they're – it's so stupid. Yeah, and everyone clowns TCU for getting blown out last year, and they did. But they beat Michigan. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand it.
People were talking up Michigan like they do every
everyone's
year.
Everyone's like, oh, Michigan's going to – they're going to beat Georgia this year. They're going to be the reason that Georgia doesn't go back-to-back. And it's like,
which TCU to went in point. And beat them. Which leads to your point about Michigan not being very good, or at least you think, because I agree with you.
A rivalry, anything can happen. And so, honestly, I normally think Ohio State's better. But for some reason, Michigan has their number. And
the last 3 years, anyways.
Yeah, and it's a rivalry. So, I mean, I understand it, but also they're not having to play other quality teams. And, I mean, I don't necessarily always think that we're better than Texas when we beat them that year, or OU when we beat them that year, but it happens because it's a rivalry game.
Though I do find a little bit of solace in Ohio State getting snubbed from the playoffs every year because they can't beat a Michigan team.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
They weren't snubbed last year, but they are this year.
Keeps making the Big Ten look bad when Michigan is the one that gets in, not Ohio State.
Yeah. For me, I'm excited about the 12-team playoff. We've talked about it some, I mean, I can't wait. That's going to be amazing. I've been asking for that for so long. So to finally have it, I cannot wait to see that. And I just hope that the Big 12 always has a place there. You know, like I'm worried that one day we're going to all get relegated out. But for now, I just want there to be a spot to where there's still a path for these teams to make it. And do something. So I think the 12-team playoff helps us, because at first when it was just the four teams and all this relegation was happening, I'm like, they're never going to give us a chance. Like, we're seeing it already. ACC goes undefeated and they're not getting in. You know, it's like no way were they going to give it to a Big 12 without Texas and OU in it. So thank goodness for the 12-team playoff. Super excited about that. And I think it'll be fun, even though it has its flaws. And you're right. Now that I think about it, the group of five rule, I think there are sometimes teams that deserve to be in as a group of five, but a group of five every year might not be a good idea. Yeah. So, you know, they might have to adjust that or something, but I'm just glad that there's going to be a 12-team playoff.
I just think, why shouldn't it be the 12 best teams?
Best teams. Well, because then you get into the thing where it's the SEC and it's going to be seven SEC schools, three Big Ten schools. Wow. And then,
that's a good point.
You know, and it's like, I don't agree with that, but politics, baby, you know, like we're getting now. So
that's true.
I think this is a good format in the sense of it protects the other schools from just getting pushed out because people with big pockets push them out. So excited about that. I can't wait. 12-team playoffs is going to be fun.
That is that's a good one. I'm excited for that as well. Absolutely.
And I think it'll be fun to see some new rivalries develop, because it takes a while. But if you play teams enough, I think it'll be cool to see some teams that you might not think about hating each other start hating each other.
Yeah,
but also in a weird way, that's fun. Is, like, especially in the Big Ten's case of, like, say a rivalry between like Ohio State and Washington forms, or like Ohio State and Oregon. You know, since they've met before in a title game, but it's like, that's such a long trip for the fans to go to, like, the other stadium, which kind of sucks.
Oh, yeah,
we need
it does.
More neutral site games. More neutral site games.
No, I disagree, man. Yeah, I disagree. No, the playoff games in these stadiums are going to be so rocking. It's going to be so cool to see a playoff game happen at an SEC stadium. Like, a playoff baseball game is one of the most insane places I've ever been. But you put a playoff football game for a college team in a college town, that place is going to burn down, and it's going to be amazing to watch.
Cotton Bowl almost burns down every year. Now, that could be because the stadium's like 100 years old. But
I was going to say, yeah. You flush the toilet, and all the sewage just piles up.
Actually, the toilets didn't flush this year. It was fun.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. I was going to say, they might never make it, but A&M, if they ever make it, if they have a playoff game there, that might be one of the most wild environments.
Hmm. Yeah, so it'll be – I can't wait for that. I think that'll be so much fun.
What's the school that does the Enter Sandman at the beginning?
South Carolina, maybe?
I think it's the ACC, like Miami or...
No, it's not Miami. Miami's environment.
Oh, Virginia Tech. I think it's Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Virginia Tech's not making it, buddy.
No. But that would be cool.
Yeah, you're no doubt. Anything else you want to add? Anything else?
We don't have to play OU anymore, which is always nice.
Is that nice? I hate that.
It is. Bedlam. It isn't, but it is nice in the fact of, for the majority of my life, we've been whooped, and this is like the best stretch that we've had against
OU. I was going to say, y'all are finally finding y'all's stride, and now they're like, okay, we don't want any more of it. So,
and OSU's the one that doesn't want more of it. Not we would like it, but...
Hey, someone ended the partnership, and it wasn't OSU.
We could keep playing the game, though.
I'm bummed about it, but I can see where that would be a positive. In a sense, it is a positive that we're not playing Texas or OU anymore, because it kind of levels the playing field a little bit, since OU and Texas, especially Texas, has just had so much more money.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see. I think the Big 12 will be the most – it always really is, but – the most balanced conference.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I hope that eventually they'll establish like teams that we play every year, because
yeah, the pods like... right now is not good, or not having the pods is not good.
I thought they are having teams that you play every year.
Mm-mm. There's only a few. It's like Utah, BYU is playing every year. Kansas State's playing every year, and that might be it.
I think so.
Yeah, so it's pretty stupid that they don't have protected rivalries.
Arizona State.
Okay.
But I thought maybe I just heard wrong or something. I heard on the radio they were talking about like you would kind of play the teams that were geographically like really close to you every year, and then the ones further away would be rotated.
You would hope
not right now.
Not right now.
Huh.
Maybe after the 3 years that they've already planned out, it'll be maybe, like we've established teams that they want to play every year. But
maybe they were saying that's what they should do. And
it's probably not is what they should doing. Do. That's what everyone thinks they should do.
I wonder if they're trying to, like, you know, mix everybody up to try to create some new rivalries. And then
that's what I'm saying. Think, maybe 3 years, I think that's probably create what it is. Some new rivalries, and then they'll stick those.
Yeah. I just wish they'd protect OSU Tech.
Me too. Yeah. What would you want to name it?
I don't know. I mean, you could always do something with a gun or...
Yeah, the
pew pew. I liked the Dust Bowl. I thought that was
that's a good one. The who had it originally bowl.
Yeah. We call you Zero
the OG. The OG game.
All right, y'all want to pick y'all's champ? Who we think is going to win?
We picking Bryce. Every game or just the champ?
I guess you can do whatever you want if you want to pick every game.
Yeah, we'll go every game, and I'll go the first game I'm picking in. This is who I think is going to be who I would not bet against to be the national champ. Is, you know, I'm a big comic book fan, and there's always the joke in comic books about, like, you give Batman just, like, any time to prepare for anything, and he could, like, beat God.
wow.
And it's, in this case, Nick
disagree,
Saban,
but
Nick
continue.
Saban is Batman, and you give Nick Saban a month to prepare for a game, like... I don't see, you know, Michigan really beating Alabama in this game, which sucks. I hate it.
Because then everyone will be like, see, they should have been in.
Exactly. And like, I do think they're one of the best teams in college. I do think FSU deserved it, and I'll still fight for that. But I think Nick Saban is the greatest football coach to ever coach, and him being able to turn around this season is kind of a big I think a big indicator of that, especially in his older age.
Another feather in his hat, really.
And I would not be surprised to see him come out on top and then retire at the end of the game. This be his nice little swan song, which I hate. But
whoa, you think he's going to retire?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't. I think that man will coach until
he might. I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world for me if he did. But I think they'll win that game for sure. And the other game is tough. But I really like Washington. I want the Bills to kind of be bad enough to draft Romo Dunsey a lot. Really like him. So I'd pick Washington to win that, just because I think Kalen DeBoer is a better coach than Sark, especially just offensively. And who knows, maybe Sark has some hang-ups playing his old employer. And then, yeah, I don't know. I hate to pick him just because of the Florida State thing, but I got to pick Bama to win. I can't pick against Nick Saban.
That would suck. But it'd be better than Texas winning.
That's true.
Amen. Man, it's very hard for me to separate who I think will win and who I want to win. So I'm just going to go with who I want to win.
There you go.
And I want Washington to win. And I do think they have a genuine shot at winning it. I think this year more than any other, I think any of the four could potentially win it. Because there's no just standout team to me in that. But I think Washington will beat Texas just because I've seen Ewers play pretty poorly at times. Although he is quite the capable quarterback. And then I want to say Michigan will win, but I just don't, like Brady said earlier, I've never really thought they're that good. So I do think Alabama wins that game.
And who do you have winning it all? Did you say Washington? Okay. For me, back to what I said about Michigan, I don't think they're that good. I hate to say it also, but I think Alabama's going to win that game. And then, I don't know, I absolutely hate what I pick here, every bit of it. But I think Texas is going to win. I think they are on a roll right now. They just flipped a switch. I think their playmakers are elite, and I think Quinn Ewers is capable. The biggest question I have for them is, will Worthy stay healthy? He comes out of every single game with a leg injury of some sort. And then he goes back in like a hero. It's really crazy to me. But I absolutely hate them, but they have caught fire at the right time, I think. And then I think I really think they will win. I hate it, but
the whole thing.
I think Texas will win. I don't like it. I mean, like I said, I hate picking it, but if I'm putting all my bias aside, I think that they look like the most complete team at the moment.
I think I agree with you, Brady, unfortunately. I was going to pick Texas as well, mostly because I think Michigan, Bama, I'm with y'all. I don't think Michigan's that good. I think Bama is going to beat them, especially giving them that much time. And then I think whoever wins versus Texas and Washington, I think is going to win the whole thing. And I hope it's Washington. But I'm with you, Brady. Washington also has elite playmakers. Like, their receivers are no joke.
They do.
But their defense is considerably worse than Texas defense. And so I just feel like Texas has got the upper hand there. So I'll pick Texas. And then if Texas is playing Bama, I think Texas already beat them once, and I think they can beat them again. And so I would pick Texas there. To happen, though, is I want Michigan to beat Bama, and I want Washington to beat Texas, and then I want Washington to beat Michigan. So that's what I'll be rooting for. But if I was putting money on this, I would put Texas as my champ.
I like to go on record and say I also think if FSU was in there, I would pick them over Michigan. I truly don't believe Michigan is that good.
I would
pick them to beat Michigan, and then I'd still pick Texas to win.
Yep.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, hopefully it goes better than we're all sounding. So I hope Jeff's right.
Yeah.
Need Washington to win.
Jeff and Blake.
Go Huskies.
Go Huskies.
If I could pick
all Pac-12 fans here.
If I could pick to win like right now that isn't in it, I'd pick Florida State because I think they're so mad they could go win it all.
Man, I want Washington to win it because I think it would be so poetic for the Pac-12 to finally have a champion as they immediately disband after the celebration.
Yes, yeah, that would be so funny.
Yep.
I agree.
They're like, yes, Pac-12. All right, see ya.
Nah. Did you see they rolled credits after their Pac-12 championship game? They put on the board, they rolled credits, and then they played Time of Your Life in the background. And it made me tear up a little bit.
Did I see a picture of all the mascots at the game
like a graduation photo. They're just all together one last time.
It is interesting.
It's weird to see the death of a conference. I feel like this happened a few times, but not really in our lifetime.
Like a major conference.
I feel like it normally just transfers
right?
to a new name, like not completely disbands.
Hey, it's going to a new name, the Pac-2.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, guys, I feel so bad for them. I thought that might be Tech at some point. So
it's same. All right. Well, y'all got anything I want to say before we wrap it up?
Let's go beat the next Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. Down with Cal.
It's nothing about football, but everybody go watch the new Godzilla movie because it's great.
It's in subtitles, though, man. I don't know. Dude, it's hard for me to read while I'm watching a movie.
Hey, if you want to talk about the creator being like great on a low budget, that's even better than the creator.
You've seen it already?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll have to. Maybe I can convince my wife to see it. I don't know. All right. If there's nothing else, I guess we'll wrap it up. Thank you guys again for being on. Always enjoy it. This is a fun big pod. You know, we haven't really done this before, so maybe we'll do it again.
It's like the adventures of your podcast.
Exactly, right? Yeah,
it's a good time.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Like and subscribe, all the things. And again, talk to y'all later. Go Huskies.